welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Yes, youth are leaving us right now, and we are going to just get into, continue our theme of prayer and fasting. We're starting today. As Robin said, we'll hear that scripture a bit later, but let's today set our heart. So in fact, our week starts on Sunday. It starts now, prayer and fasting. We have an awesome week ahead of us. Just before I get into that, a bit of a prophetic update. Really believe that God's power is going to be flowing in measures that we've always longed for. And the Bible has told us that in the latter days, the power of God and the anointing of God and all of the things of God, it's actually going to be greater than even in the former days. And as a church right across the world, we've been searching for the power of God, the giftings of the Lord, the prophetic and all of that being released. There's a hunger in us, and we've seen glimpses of it, but we haven't really, if we're honest, seen it in its fullness yet. But we really believe we are now coming into, this decade, and the nearer we get to the return of Jesus Christ, which literally could be any time. Who even thought we would be sitting here in the year 2020? Who even really thought that? We all thought we would have been raptured in the year 2000. Do you remember that? But 2020, we are so close. But anyway, it's great to see the gifts of God, the prophetic of God coming powerfully on the earth through his vessels. There's one I want to just bring your attention to. Make a note. Listen to it on YouTube. I probably mentioned it before. His name is Hank Kuhneman. Maybe some of you have heard this already, but he prophesied. This is one of just a minister, just a normal man like you or I or a woman, but God ministering that gifting of that prophetic through him. And he had a prophetic word in a time in a prophecy meeting, New Year's Eve, I think, or the day before. And he prophesied. It goes on for about 16 minutes, but it got my attention because I was listening to this amongst many others. And he prophesied that this situation in Iran that has taken place right now, in quite amazing detail, talking about that there was something that Iran was holding and that they were about to unfold. Somebody was going to be taken out of the way and removed. It was going to involve missiles. It was going to involve the might and power of America. And not to fear, for as well, God was moving in these situations. And that prophetic word came astoundingly true, 2-3 days later, in an amazing way. And it went on to say that as a result of these things, and it involves North Korea and China and Russia and all of those things as we know, but as a result of these things, there would be uprising in the streets. And we saw that again on our news. But again, what the news won't tell you is that the result of it is that the God was using these situations to bring about revival in the nations. So even the uprising then in the streets was going to ultimately lead to regime change, but for God's purposes and for revival into the nation. And I got a notice there yesterday, and I'll just read out the title of it, that with what has taken place in Iran already, again, accurately in line with that prophetic word, that hundreds of thousands come to Jesus as revival happens in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord because God is moving. Yes, amen. So let's stand up. Just before we get back into the Word, stand up together. We're going to pray for our nations, pray for Iran, pray for what God is taking place across the earth right now. Let's just lift up our hands. Father, we thank you. The Lord, you are sovereign over all of the earth. The earth belongs to you. The nations are in your hands. The heart of the kings are in your hands. And we thank you, Lord, that all power belongs to you. All authority belongs to you. And that you've placed that within the church. Because, Lord, you are the head of the church. in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the prophetic. We thank you for the power of God being revealed in greater ways now through your body, through your people, and through us. And we stand right now and we lift up our voice and we speak words of healing, words of peace, words of salvation over Iran in Jesus' name, over the nations of the world at this time. For Lord, we believe we are coming into the time of the latter harvest, Lord God, right across the earth, and that, Lord, you are interrupting right now the plans of the enemy for destruction, and you are using it for good. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we do not listen to the news, but we listen to your Spirit. And, Lord God, we put hope in your word, and we thank you for Iran and all of the nations and our own nation. In Jesus' name, let your will be done and your purposes outworked to the saving of multitudes, that none should perish, but all come to a knowledge of Jesus. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Isn't that what it's all about, the gospel? Isn't it all about the gospel? Even our prayer and fasting, isn't it all about, in the end of the day, what is it all about? What is our life all about? What are the cares and distractions that enter in? What is our work? What are our jobs? What is the breath that's in our body? What are the short years that we have on this earth? Ultimately, what is it all about? It is about bringing the gospel to every single soul on the face of this earth, giving them an opportunity to believe before they meet their Maker, starting with you and me. Amen? Isn't that ultimately, as even Pastor shared, what it's all about? Yes. So prayer and fasting, as we are going to talk about this morning and launch out our week this morning, this is what it's about. It's not even about just a selfish coming before the Lord for your personal requests, although our personal requests are very much part of prayer and fasting. But stay focused, that God is desiring to stir up the gifting in you. First of all, he wants to redeem your life. He wants you to take the offer of salvation and put your hand in the hand of the one who made you. Put your hand in his hand. Step into the lifeboat. If this morning you haven't yet done that, that's where it starts. Before we move on, even in looking at a scripture, the way to tell if you are in the lifeboat or not, the way to tell if you are born again or not, it's very simple. In exactly the same way that you know you are living on the planet Earth right now and are not a fiction of people's imagination, is because you have a birthday. You were born on a certain day. You have a birth certificate, and there's factual evidence, therefore, that you are not a fiction of people's imagination, but you are actually alive on planet Earth because you were born on a certain day. Exactly the same to know if you are saved, because you will know, and you will be able to remember a certain time when you gave your heart to the Lord, when you entrusted your life to Jesus, your spiritual birthday. If you cannot, and there is not a certain time where you've done that, then you need to do that and be born again. Amen? It is so simple. Your spiritual birthday. Hallelujah. Receiving Jesus and his offer of salvation. That's where it starts. And for all the rest of us, and for us, once we're saved, from there on, it's about finding God's plan, purpose, will, giftings in your life, and revealing that on the earth where God has put you. Every one of us have a calling. Remember this. Every one of us, God's desire is to use you, to flow through you, to meet the needs within your life and outwards towards others. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to put a scripture up, and I'd just like to break this scripture down for you. Philippians 4, verse 6. in coming towards our week of prayer and fasting. And on our announcements page, you would have seen maybe a link to some great prayer and fasting teachings that you can go onto YouTube and listen to. And I encourage you, do that throughout this week. That'll take you to known prayer and fasting scriptures. And we know so much of them. But I've chosen here a scripture which does not use the word fasting in it. And I want to break it down for you. And it's simply to show us that all through scripture, the principle of God remains the same. There is something that is taking place in the lives of these believers, in the life of the very scripture that is the same from Genesis to Revelation, and it embodies all of the principle of God in it. Fasting is right throughout this scripture and this text, and the reason why it is so important. So again, I want to encourage you as we start this week of prayer and fasting, and then we about getting into the results that it brings. Let's look at this scripture. Hallelujah. And remember, this is written by Paul. This is written by Paul when he talks about do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. He was in a prison, a Roman prison, when he wrote this. I think he can talk quite strongly about the fact that there would have been anxieties that he has had to stay away from. Jesus himself was, we know that no man has suffered anything greater than what Jesus suffered. Yet, he embodies perfect peace, doesn't he? Amen. So this is the amplified reading of this, and it says, do not fret. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, in every circumstance, by prayer and petition, that means definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants and your needs known to God. So many key words here that are being brought out. So, fasting, this week of fasting, the whole purpose of fasting is simply to bring us to the point of true, vital, and powerful prayer. That is the whole and the purpose of fasting. As Pastor was saying, it's about prayer this morning. It's about, and prayer is the center of our relationship with God. It brings His answers and His will into our life. It tears down the strongholds that are against us. So, fasting. This is why fasting is so exciting. It's so important. If we understand what fasting does, then we can gladly enter into it. If we think fasting is a religious duty, you don't even start it. If you think fasting is simply an act of obedience, God's going to be pleased because you're fasting. Don't even bother fasting. Fasting is simply a means to an end. It is a process that we go through to bring us into this state that we all want to be in, by the way, where our prayers are answered. Who wants to be in a state where when you pray, your prayers are answered, breakthroughs in your life, obstacles removed? Every one of us wants to be in that state. We all know that. You, every one of us, would love to be able to right now kneel before God and ask our greatest request of Him and for it to be manifested in our life. There's not one of us this morning that does not want that. So that is the goal of fasting, and that's what it does. Amen. So it's about prayer. But because prayer, this kind of prayer, powerful prayer, and prayer that is answered. Powerful prayer doesn't mean that you have to be shouting around your living room like Mum does sometimes. Mum has powerful prayer. She's a powerful prayer. Mum is a prayer warrior. Mum can pray privately, but she can also pray noisily. In the right places, of course. But that doesn't mean powerful prayer. Powerful prayer is prayer that's answered. You can whisper that prayer and it's answered. You can speak one word to that demon and it has to flee. Powerful prayer is answered prayer. So because prayer, that's what prayer is meant to be anyway. Prayer, that word means the tool, the mighty weapon that God has given us to be able to speak a thing and it comes to pass. To be able to talk to God Almighty. So there's no other kind of prayer. That's what prayer is. But so often, we don't see that in our life. And it's because the enemy knows that that is one of the greatest weapons God has given you. Prayer. Powerful prayer. Answered prayer. So therefore, what he does is he sets distractions and barriers and resistance to ensure that you will never get to the place of true, effective, powerful prayer. And he will make it that prayer is the most difficult thing in your life. It's not easy. That kind of prayer, in your natural state, it is not easy. Why is it not easy? Because we don't want to pray naturally. We're not naturally motivated to pray. We find it hard to concentrate. We can't find the time. We've got other distractions, other thoughts. There's a lot of doubt in our prayers. Is God really going to answer this? Is this even the will of God? I actually don't really know what to pray for because now I'm confused. So many reasons why prayer is under attack in your life and my life. And again, I'm being very honest with you this morning too because I'm exactly the same. And I would say pastors are exactly the same because they have the same flesh as you have, the same soul, mind, will, and emotions. So that's where the barriers are. The enemy's goal is to stop you getting to your greatest weapon and using it. To stop you using it. So the enemy's quite happy if we get in, if we just go about what we call prayer, which is gentle Jesus, meek and mild, or saying a few words to the Lord when at the end of a day, which has been so busy, and we're that wrecked, we just want to go to bed. Or when there's a crisis arrives, and that's when then you get to a few prayer words. But that's not prayer. That's not what the Bible even distinguishes or classifies as prayer. So the enemy has really done a job on the church, on Christians, to distract us and stop us actually employing this greatest weapon, powerful prayer. And so fasting now, we understand what fasting is. He keeps it, it's not easy, and he makes our prayers unfruitful. Again, if you're honest, how many of your prayers seem like, over the years, it's been unfruitful? Don't be condemned. We all face that. So, the enemy has stopped powerful prayer in your life. If there's unfruitfulness in your prayers, it's not you and it's not God. There's an enemy. Okay? So let's look at this again. Put the scripture up. We're going to come back and we're going to now get straight in, breaking this down and moving on. Be anxious for nothing. Do not fret. Anxiety. That word anxious, in the original, the core idea of that Greek word is a divided mind. Isn't that amazing? A divided mind. It is looking two ways at the same time. The distractions, divided. It's vibrating between two attractions and no place to settle down or be at rest. Hence, it's distracted, weighed down, wearied, doubtful, and unstable. How many scriptures come to mind straight away even by that description? So those wearinesses, they've come from the distraction. Straight away we see the enemy's plan in this life. And Paul is warning us, don't be anxious. If there's anxiety there, that's the enemy keeping you from powerful prayer. We know that in James 1:78 it says that a double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. He's unstable in all of his ways. That's not a condemnation statement. That's, again, agreeing with this word to say that there is a divided mind. The enemy is distracting you and keeping you from prayer so that you don't know what really to pray for, and weariness, unbelief, all of those that settle in. Divided mind. Anxiety. The Greek, the English word from this again, coming from the same context, and this is amazing. That English word of that anxiety, the core meaning of that is it is choking. What about that? Choking. The cares of this life, the Bible, Jesus said, they come up and they choke the Word of God. So here we see right at the start the principle of the world in operation. And Paul is telling us that there's a divided mind. The enemy is trying to distract your mind. And he is choking God's seed out of your life. He is choking the result, the fruit of that seed. Mark 4:19, Jesus tells us that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things, that divided mind, what it does, and actually that is our wicked ways, which we'll see in a minute, they enter in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Isn't that very clear to see? So here we see that's what we're, there's where we're starting. And that is the context of life that surrounds every single one of us. That's why your prayers are unfruitful. It's a divided mind and is being choked out. So this is how the enemy distracts and he blocks and he brings obstruction into your life. But God actually wants the seed and his seed, which is the word, and the word then that you use and pray out on your lips, he wants that to produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. Verse 20 of that scripture, Mark 4, verse 20, tells us that the seed should produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. So, if that's constantly God's desire, but there's just therefore been a blockage, the moment that that blockage is removed, suddenly what bursts forth is 30, 60, and 100 fold. Amen? And now we see what fasting does. So, 30, 60, and 100 fold. It's like how many times, probably men more than women, you've been in hosing down the garden in the summer, and the hose is going through powerfully, and all of a sudden you're going around the garden, and the hose then gets caught around something or kinks. And then suddenly that hose goes down to a dribble or even nothing. Anybody been in that position? Yeah. And so the problem isn't the fact that the mains water pressure has differed. The problem is a blockage has occurred in the hose. So what you have to simply do is go, remove the kink in the hose, and what happens? Immediately, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Pow! Immediate. Bow! Fast results, bang, straight in there again, full power. And that's what fasting does. Fasting removes the obstacle. Amen? And that's why fasting, therefore, is so exciting. It is such an awesome thing to realize that that's what I'm doing. Oh, I see it now. That's what I'm doing. I'm removing the obstacle so that 30, 60, and 100 fold can burst forth into my life. And how many people who have experienced true fasting have seen that the answers come so quickly as a result? Yes? Put up your hand if you've fasted like that, and especially times of focused fast, that the breakthrough comes so quickly in that process. Yes? Put up your hand. Let me see your hand if you've experienced that. Amen. Not everybody has, because again, that's where fasting's being restored to the church. Amen. So that choking. Imagine being in a toxic environment. Maybe a building is burning and you've been breathing in those fumes for so long, and then you're able to escape and run into the most pure rivers and oxygenated environment and just breathe. And let that oxygen just permeate every cell of your being. Well, it's not that your lungs were never intended to do that. It's simply that you removed the obstacle. Amen. So fasting is that process. Fasting is the process and the mechanism that God has. He's placed it right into your biological system and the design so that the distractions and the addictions and the anxieties of the world that suffocate our spiritual flow are removed. right into your biological system. It comes down to simply the scenario of stopping food. It's a physical and a spiritual thing that we do. And fasting is so important. Fasting is like having this super sports car. What fasting does is it regularly services that car. Good to see Brian this morning. Even Brian knows, as a truck driver, if that truck was never serviced mile after mile after mile, what eventually would happen to that truck, Brian? It would stop. Fasting is simply servicing the vehicle regularly. Amen? If there was an athlete, a top athlete, even the Bible tells us this, Paul tells us this, he disciplines his body to achieve the optimum results. Amen? That's what fasting does. Fasting sharpens the axe. I remember one time we had a wood pile in the garden, and I thought I would go out and just chop as much wood as I could. This was a time when I felt I needed to get a bit of stress relief out of my system, so I thought, I'm going to go out. I might as well, instead of kicking and screaming or whatever, I might as well put that stress into productivity and have a nicely, finely chopped wood pile at the end of it. So I did, and I went out and I chopped that wood. I chopped that wood for most of the day, but the axe was dull. I ended up with tennis elbow on both arms as a result. And that's where the anxieties come from. If your axe is dull, you're going to end up in pain. You're going to end up with difficulties in your life. Even doing the things of God will end up in burnout, stress, and all of those things. Fasting sharpens the axe. Amen. That's what it does. So it is so important. And it's great. So we have that situation of an empty stomach. And an empty stomach speaks to me of an empty vessel. We've put food away from our stomach. And our stomachs are empty. And a result of that is you feel weak. Your physical strength starts to go a little bit. But you know what that speaks to me of? The empty vessel that then the Holy Spirit can fill. You know what else it speaks to me of? When we are weak, then we are strong. Amen? That's what fasting does. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10, Paul speaking, "For my power is made perfect." Well, this is Jesus speaking to Paul. "My power is made perfect in your weakness." And he goes on to say, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." That's what fasting speaks to me about. And it is amazing that in the state of fasting, that is the greatest flow of God in your life. So it is worth it. It is vitally important, this fasting. So biblical fasting, moving forward then in this for scripture, it's connected with humbling. Humbling, that's what fasting does. It's connected with humbling, where we turn away from our natural strength. We turn away from our natural giftings, our jobs, our dependencies on the natural things. And we yield and we focus and we open our hearts fully before God. It's that idea of humbling. It's not that God wants to crush you into the ground in that context, but it's the fact that we rely not on our strength, but we turn it all over to God's strength. Fasting is the mechanism that does that. God created that mechanism. Psalm 35, verse 13 says this. David says, "I humbled my soul with fasting." So fasting is the tool that God gives you in order to help you humble your soul, to help you come into a place where, because that's a difficult thing to do, to put your strength aside and get into God's strength. You can't do that on your own. You cannot just decide, "Oh, I'm just gonna rely on God's strength and not my own." Without fasting as a regular principle in your life, you cannot do that. So God has given you the tool to be able to allow that humbling process to be irregular points in your life so that you know that you're trusting truly and fully in God. Fasting is the tool. I humbled my soul with fasting. Ezra 8:21. Ezra speaking when he was coming from Persia and coming back with need of protection on his journey back to Israel to rebuild the walls. He says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek him for the right way for us, our little ones, and all our possessions." So fasting is the tool. It's the only way that God has given us to be able to bring ourselves into that humble place before him so that his power can flow through our life. So our prayer, but that's the point, that our prayers are answered and are fruitful. Amen. So again, with that in mind, we can look at scriptures like 2 Chronicles 7:14. And whilst it doesn't mention the word fasting there, now we know that this whole process is about bringing us into that humble state before God. If my people humble themselves and pray, you see, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, those distractions that we started off with that bring about the anxieties in Philippians 4, verse 6. That's the evil ways that are in our life. 1 John 2:16 describes that this world is the distractions of this world are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what we all get caught up with if fasting isn't a regular portion of our life. And that becomes the evil ways. If my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their evil ways, those distractions of life that bring about the anxieties, then I will hear from heaven. As Robin said, then that answer comes from heaven. It's already there in heaven, but we must bring it down from heaven into our life. Then that's what fasting does, that humbling process. Can you see that? Yes? Amen. Daniel 10, verse 12, and that's the scripture Robin referred to. That's the angel when Daniel was in a state of fasting and prayer. After a certain time, the answer eventually arrived in Daniel's life in the form of an angel. And we're going to finish off with what the results of fasting do. It literally brings the miraculous, even the angelic, into your life, which is God's normal intention for you. And the angel said, "Do not fear, for in the moment, in the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God." You see that word, humble yourself? Fasting. "Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." Amen. So we see clearly, let's go back to our lead scripture in Philippians. We see clearly, do not fret, don't have anxiety, but in every circumstance, it's beautiful to know that this week, when we come into prayer and fasting, there's nothing too small and there's nothing too great that you cannot bring before God in your state of fasting for him to answer. The small things of life, the things in your workplace, you can be praying about your work, praying about your family, praying about your health, praying about the nation, praying about the church. Small, great, there's nothing that God is not interested in. His love for you is so great. Amen. All the areas of life. And this word prayer, by prayer and petition, the word prayer itself in the scripture, it doesn't describe the action and the words. This word, very interestingly, prayer, this is what true prayer is. That word actually describes the state of mind. It describes the mood. That's what fasting brings you into. It's a mood of prayer. Focuses us, clears us. We communicate with God. The confusion from the fleshly realm is removed so that the honest desires of the heart are revealed and can come forth unhindered. Because God wants to give you the desires of your and fasting removes all of the toxins, all of the distractions. It clears the airways and the desires of the heart come forth unhindered and clear. And that is what God answers in your life. Amen. So prayer describes that state, the attitude of prayerful state. You don't even need to be praying a word, but in that state, that's what describes a prayerful mood, that word prayer. And then it goes on to say supplication. That word is described sometimes as petitions, and as a very specific word. Supplication is the most humble type of prayer found in the Bible. The Bible says in Scriptures that there's all kinds of prayer. So there's many different kinds of prayer, supplication being one of them. So we've come through the state that prayer and fasting brings us into, the mood of prayer, and supplication, the most humble, persistent, and focused of all the types of prayer, describes the posture of someone that is kneeling before the greatest authority and pleading as it were for their life. And they're bowed down, and they're prostrate, and they're humble. That's what supplication describes. So the meaning of this scripture is that in that state then, the cares and the distractions of life, and through that fasting and that humbling process, we're now in that mood and that state of mind where we can now do business with God and Him with us. And supplication, kneeling before that authority, pleading humbly. It also comes from the Latin is supplicare, and that means supple. Supplication. Supple, like bending your will to God's will. Amen? And that's what fasting does. We cannot do that on our own. And it goes on to say with thanksgiving, that's good expectation. Coming with expectation. We're not begging God all the time. David testified about that on New Year's Eve, that once you've prayed it, in faith believing. If you haven't prayed it in faith, then you haven't prayed it. But in prayer, in a state of fasting, once you've prayed it, then in faith believing, then you continue to thank God for it until the answer manifests in your life. Thanking God and worshiping Him with good expectation. And it goes on to say, praying, continuing to pray, to continue. The Amplified brings that out. It doesn't just say, it's pray, it says continue to pray until it's manifested in your life. So that is the process, and specific requests. Again, that's the idea of petitions. Get your specific requests. Write it down this week. What do I need? What am I seeking God for this week? In the church, the nation, and your life, and the life of others. Write a specific request down. A supplicant doesn't come before the king or the queen or whoever, that great authority, without knowing what he's coming for. Hannah, the supplication prayer, describe again what Hannah did. She got on her knees, she fasted, and she knew exactly what she wanted. Not even just a child, she wanted a male child. She was specific with God. Be specific with God. Yes? He wants you to be specific because it's the desires of the heart. Be as specific as you possibly can. Put as much detail on your request. That's what the word petition means. And then find scripture that lines up with that godly desire. And say, Lord, your word says this, and therefore I'm believing you for this area of my life, and this is my heart's desire. I need this. I need a male child, like Hannah said. Be specific. Amen? So fasting and prayer is awesome, and those specific things God will bring into your life. Amen. I'm just going to finish off with a scripture. We'll read it in Acts chapter 12. The results. What are the results then? That we see throughout Scripture that if this process of prayer and fasting was the normal intention of God for us to live like, as it was in the Old Testament, corporate fasting and individual fasting on a regular basis, then was it in the apostles' life? Was it in Jesus' life? Was it in Paul's life? Of course it was. Remember, Jesus fasted. He taught his disciples to fast. If Jesus himself had to fast, do you not think we need to? He taught his disciples to fast. When you fast, he said. Not if, when you fast. And Paul said, I am in fastings more often than anybody. So fasting is a regular part of our life. Well, we're going to look very quickly as we close now couple of minutes. Let's look at Acts chapter 12. This amazing passage whenever Peter was released from prison. And it says this in Acts chapter 12. Peter was caught up in prison. And again, this was a life and death situation. Now, by the time that Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some in the church, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. So that's one of the apostles killed there already by Herod. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. So what he did, he put Peter in prison with the intention of bringing him out and killing him. It wasn't just an arrest. This was a death sentence on Peter. So what happened was, so he arrested him, and he intended to bring him out, verse 4, before the people after Passover. Now, it's very interesting. I looked at this and I went to Passover and I said, interesting, we have a week of prayer and fasting before us. Do you know how long that process of Passover was? 7 days. So Peter was in prison for 8 days, but he was released the night before, which is the 7th day. The church were praying for 7 days, a week of prayer and fasting. And look at the results. So, for your life right now, this is the results that God will bring into every and any area of request that you start to bring before Him at the start of this week. And let's get a week of prayer and fasting in. So, verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And again, when you look at the original, it was effective and fervent prayer, constant and persistent in a supplication format by the church. And the result was that after 7 days, the angel of the Lord came to Peter and it released his chains, stood, and it, even with the Roman guards around him. In fact, I'll just read it so you know I'm not telling you anything that's wrong. It said, verse 7, or verse 6, he was bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. These were Roman soldiers. Now, behold, the angel of the Lord stood by him, and the light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie your sandals." So he did, and he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." And so he went out and followed him, and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gates that lead to the city, and the gates opened of their own accord. And they went out and went into the street, and immediately the angel departed. And when Peter came to himself, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod, which was death, and from and the expectation of the Jewish people." Amen. What an amazing miracle brought about by a week of prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. We're going to close. But isn't that awesome? To whet your appetite for a week of prayer and fasting. Amen. The scripture is amazing. When you look into it and you understand what the Spirit is saying behind every single word, every single verse, you see it running from cover to cover. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.